When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. Happy Tuesday morning to you all as you're back here today talking about all things WWE Bash in Berlin and WWE's NXT's No Mercy going down Saturday and Sunday in two different parts of the world, one show in Germany, one show in Denver, Colorado, in the United States of America. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand, the sometimes advocate for, as he predicted on the show last week, the number one contender for the NXT Women's Championship, the one, the only, Ms. Jada Parker. I bring to you back on the wrap, as always, the one and only Salty Scott Young. Welcome back, Nostradamus.
Appreciate it. It's always a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. Yeah, just don't ask me about my WrestleMania predictions.
There are a couple things I get right. My prospects, when it comes to the women that I pick, they're usually pretty on point. The men is where I struggle. Von Wagner, Where he at? He out playing Phantom of the Opera somewhere. So at least when I pick the women, I tend to do a little bit better. So shout out to Jada for holding me down.
You know what? For your name, there's a situation that applies for everything. We've had Salty. We've had Perky. There's numerous names. Angry Scott has entered the chat a couple of times, but I have a new name for you too, because as you go out into the world and you view all things WWE and you view the talent of potential champions in WWE, specifically in the NXT women's division, you have not missed yet. So moving forward on a temporary basis, you are now known as Scout Scott Young. Yes.
I'm the new scout regimen. Yeah, I'm with that. I'm down for that. We kill Titans. I'm with that.
All right. I'm down for that too. So congrats to her. We have two major shows to dive into, but I do briefly want to talk about something that happened on Monday Night Raw. Two things, actually. First off, we have a murder in kayfabe to discuss, as we saw quite possibly the sickest tsunami to date when Bronson Reed delivered a tsunami to Braun Strowman on the roof of a car. And the weight was so big that glass broke immediately. And maybe a light fixture broke at the same time. That was extra impressive.
Yeah, almost as impressive as Braun Strowman's wind blowing over Bronson Reed over the car a few minutes before that. Almost as impressive as the win that he created, looking like Storm out there. The tsunami has become the most dangerous move in WWE right now. So kudos to them at least establishing Bronson Reed for more than 1 week. Who he gets fed to, we'll see. Could he just be a returning Rollins? We'll find out. But I appreciate this run that they've put him on, because usually they only do it for a couple weeks. He gets a big match, he loses, but they've kept this going for a while, and I think we might be in for something sustained here.
I believe so too. When you do it like for 4 weeks in a row, it means that you are really taking care of this character, something we've been saying for over 2 years. You rehire him for a reason because you know he was great. He was very good on NXT, did his thing in New Japan. And at one point we had a conversation whether or not maybe you should go back because the booking is a choice in WWE, but it has gotten better. As you said, the key will be what will happen when Seth Rollins comes back from injury. I know that he took some more time out to heal up, and I could tell when he first came back, he wasn't 100%, and he's back to heal up some more. Had to come in for SummerSlam to at least get through the first leg of the Drew McIntyre and CM Punk feud, and then he goes away by selling for Bronson Reed. But hopefully, when he does return, there is going to be a return in terms of the investment of what they're putting into Bronson Reed. Like, don't have him go through a whole lot of people to ultimately lose, because you are building another monster that is viable and can work and is getting over with the people as we speak.
Yeah, that's the important thing right there that you mentioned at the end. It's getting over. Not only is the wrestler getting over, but that finishing move, when he gets to the top rope, you can kind of feel and hear the anticipation. And it's not just for one. They want to see it multiple times, regardless of who it is. Sami Zayn's one of the most beloved people WWE has, and they were begging for it. So it doesn't matter. The move is over. He's over. And this is a great sign of things to come, hopefully.
Yes, very much so. And I do want to make this segue because we're talking about big guys and giants and WWE that can work. I would be remiss if I don't mention the passing of Sid Vicious, who passed away on Monday due to a long battle with cancer. Very surprising news. Did not know he was sick. And you go back in time and you see the work he did in WWF back in the 90s as Psycho Sid, and you really saw like this big guy had charisma. He was kind of crazy, but he was madly talented in the ring for what he was able to do for his size. And Shawn Michaels definitely attributes Sid for definitely getting him to that next level as a main event player in WWF at the time. And as a fan who was just starting to get into the business back in 1999 and 2000, unfortunately, one of the more horrifying images was Sid breaking his leg on a live pay-per-view for WCW, and seeing that footage of that leg being disgustingly twisted was something that, whew, was rough to see. But he got through that, and you know, retirement had his ups and downs for him, and we just had no idea that his health took a turn. But I did want to talk about his career and his impact in WWE and elsewhere. So my thoughts and prayers are with his family and friends who really knew him well, and for the fans that followed him throughout his career as well.
Yeah, really well said. Not much to add to that. Just condolences to the family and to the fans that he had. You know, there's a presence to him. You know, not a lot of people got to work against Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania. He's one of those guys. There's a reason he was chosen for that. You know, and on a lighter note, one of my favorite Sid moments, because I didn't really watch him live. I just kind of, now I go back and watch clips of him. And one of my favorite clips is his car got smashed. I don't remember who did it. It was back in WCW. And he walked out at the end, and he was like, no, and he's just screaming. He's got his hands in the air like this, his fists. It's absolutely tremendous. It's just a terrible skit, but just yes. Tremendous. But that's just, he could do something like that, and then he can go be the most menacing man in the entire arena at the, you know, the very next day. So just kind of shows you the range. But yeah, his impact is definitely felt throughout the wrestling, and everybody kind of attributes him, especially when you talk about great big men of all time.
For sure. Listen, that compact car was so small, and he was so sad that this car that was so small, like it was so unrealistically tiny, how compact this destroyed car was. And as you said, hands outstretched, he's yelling to the sky, no! Just like the worst, best ending to a television show, because you couldn't help but laugh. It was so funny. It was dumb, but funny at the same time. But yes, it was a character for sure. one of the better big guys in the game. So may he rest in peace as we pivot back to a little bit of Monday Night Raw talk, because our primary episode is going to be about predicting the matches for Bash in Berlin and NXT No Mercy going down this Sunday on Peacock. I do want to talk about the main event of Monday Night Raw, which was the in-ring debut of Uncle Howdy versus Chad Gable. We had shenanigans, of course, from American Maid, Scott's new favorite name for a faction, but eventually the Wyatt Six came out there to even the odds, and Uncle Howdy stood tall to wrap up the show. So all in all, the in-ring work by the crew is still standing firm, and the fans still love the Wyatt Six.
Yeah, before I get to the match, I want to touch on the promo that Chad cut right before the main event match. Let me tell you something. Whenever they, like, I know the anti-American is not everybody's favorite thing, but the way they got Gunther positioned right now, man, I really hope at some point we get Chad going after that title, because that promo he cut right there, him cutting that same promo, ending it with the, you know, how I feel about the American Maid and how they're, you know, just a part of the Trump campaign. But I will say this, though, I got a little fired up when he hit that joint, American Maid. I was like, all right, dude, you about to sell me a Toyota Ford truck next? But it was, I thought it was just a great promo. Fantastic. And I honestly can't wait till he turns back babyface, because that's when I want him to win his title. He don't have to win it as a bad guy, but I really hope we get a babyface title run out of him, because that promo he cut, I thought was fantastic.
And here's the thing, Scott, you're not wrong, because we have to remember that Gunther broke Chad Gable in his quest to win the Intercontinental Championship for months. He had multiple opportunities to beat him. And when Sammy did it at WrestleMania and Chad trained Sammy to get the job done when he couldn't, that resentment started this heel turn. But if you circle back in 4 to 5 or maybe 6 months from now and Gunther's still the champion, you got Chad Gable, who's already fired up as a babyface. We've had the classics on television, especially for the IC title. Elevate that to another level for the World Heavyweight Championship. You have this crew over. You add another piece to Imperium, possibly Pete Dunne against an elevated Creed Brothers. And here you go. You can flip the switch at any time and make Chad Gable that viable babyface to get this faction over in a big way. It's already built in. You can pivot at any time, and the history speaks for itself, because all roads start with Gunther when it came to Chad completely losing it heading into WrestleMania season.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if that is in their plans, but it's definitely something that they have in their back pocket that they can do. And, you know, so we'll see what it is. But I just wanted to touch on that before we got to the match, because I just thought that promo was really, really well done. I thought the fire he showed was great, and the intensity was spot on. So loved everything about it. I actually really loved all the backstage promos, even the one Damian and Rhea cut before that. So I liked the way they did that. But the match itself was really good. I thought Bo looked good in the match. Chad looked great as always. He's become a Raw main event staple, so that's expected. But I thought in particular, Bo looked pretty good. I thought he was pretty crisp out there, and the crowd stayed engaged throughout the entire match, I felt like.
I thought so as well. Very hot crowd. Really appreciate that energy throughout the show. Talked about the Judgment Day a bit, and they reignited a feud with the LWO. Very fun match. I know I can be Nostradamus too, as we're starting to lay the foundation, as we had Rhea and Damian come out there to provide the assist down the stretch. Really enjoyed the opening match as well. And we're just starting to build that foundation, because as I said before, Damian Priest has to make do and make good with Ray, because ultimately it's still two against the crew that outnumbers you, and you will need help in this battle if it's going to go past Bash in Berlin. But we shall see. And we got to keep in mind the possibility, if she's healthy, of Raquel Rodriguez coming in to be the new mommy in Judgment Day 2. That is still an outlier to consider. We'll see how the match goes, because I don't expect Damian and Rhea to win. I simply do not. I sense shenanigans from Judgment Day to get the W to extend this rivalry.
Yeah, definitely getting some shenanigans.
All right. And also we had the start of the IC Championship Tournament for Bron Breakker's title. We're going to have a fatal four-way match to determine his next contender in a couple of weeks. And we got a couple of people that qualified, Jey Uso and Xavier Woods. So we got a nice mix so far with a couple of more slots to be filled. We got one match next week involving Sheamus, Ludwig Kaiser, and Ilya Dragunov. Get your popcorn ready. That should be very exciting. And then Pete Dunne also secured his spot in that match as well. So it's looking very good. So I sense that most likely Sheamus gets that final spot, if I had to guess.
Yeah, that would be him going after the IC title. At least being in the match makes sense. That's the one thing he hasn't gotten. So I would like for him to get that spot.
You know, I love Sheamus. That might be the one elusive championship he will never win in WWE. Because every time you think he has a chance, whether it's a classic against Gunther, it doesn't happen. Whether he's facing Drew and Gunther at the same time, it's not going to happen. And I'm afraid that he will not be beating Bron Breakker for this title either, even though it will be a great match if it happens anytime soon in WWE. But let's get to the main appetizer. Let's start with WWE Bash in Berlin, which will be going down this Saturday, August 31st, from the Uber Arena in Berlin, Germany. And I think that Paul Levesque has his five-match special laid out, if I'm not mistaken, because we can't push it past five for PLEs overseas that are not a part of the Big Five. I do my math. Yes, five. Why am I not surprised? And making the cut, let's go down the list to work our way to the tippy top. We have the Unholy Union, a.k.a. the Witches, Alba Fire and Isle of Dawn, versus Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill in a tag team match for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship. They've been holding this match off for a while. We've had six women tags. We've had singles matches to really give us that need to see the rematch. I think this match would be very good. Give them about 15 minutes to work. And I do sense a title change because I believe we're going to circle back to Bianca's worst nightmare, damage control. And I think that is going to officially drive a wedge between Bianca and Jade because of her obsessiveness over damage control again.
So I actually, I think I'm actually going to take the Witchcraft 2.0, and I think the reason is they've associated with Blair, and we've seen Naomi kind of even the odds. I think Naomi is going to cause some type of miscue, and I think she's going to be the reason that they lose those titles, and Jade's going to be pissed, and Jade's going to go after Naomi, and Bianca's going to be like, nah, we good. And then that's going to kind of start the rift there. I'm going with witchcraft.
I love when you say I'm going with witchcraft.
I'm pulling tarot cards out. I'm getting the spells ready. I'm going with it.
Okay. I have a new nickname for them too. So we've been calling them like witchcraft, the witches. Let's just call them the witchcrafters and call it a day. I like that. It's better than an unholy union.
But I will say this, though. Isle of Dawn definitely is in the restaurant, though. She in the building.
I told you that she has earned a franchise.
Yeah, she making moves.
Yes, she is. I was like, hello, how are you? Beautiful woman. Let's just clarify that for the record.
For sure.
Yes, most definitely. And love the tribute to Team USA by Bianca, Jade, and Naomi on SmackDown. Love their gear for their match against the Witchcrafters and Blair Davenport on SmackDown in DC. Very creative fits. Nice homage to Team USA, the gymnastics team that took home gold for Team USA at the Olympics in Paris last month. But let's get to our next matchup in no particular order, as it will most likely be the Terror Twins versus the Judgment Day in a mixed tag team match. And we're talking about Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley versus Dominic Mysterio and Liv Morgan. I have predicted shenanigans. I do not foresee Damian and Rhea winning, even though they should, but you have to have a reason to extend this battle into Bad Blood in Atlanta in October. So I'm going with the new Judgment Day for the W.
I got Rhea and Damian. I think Rhea pins Liv because I think Liv's going to keep the title at Bad Blood where her and Rhea have their rematch. And I think this is how we get to Liv and Rhea at Bad Blood. So I got Rhea and Damian with Rhea pinning Liv Morgan.
Okay. I like when we disagree because one of us is going to be right and I will roll back the tape when we record on Sunday and we'll discuss who was right, who was wrong on everything. So I do like when we don't agree because you set me up last month because we was on Monday Night Raw duty and you was typing me up saying, oh my gosh, Damian is so going to retain against Gunther at SummerSlam. And then we have this amazing coronation for Gunther in Germany. And then we do our prediction show. He says, well, actually, you know, on second thought, I'm going to leave my co-captain on a limb here. I'm going to let her sacrifice herself with this bullshit prediction. And I got set up. So I'm glad we're diverging paths here because one of us will be a prophet and one of us will be a fool.
I just finished watching Titanic and got inspired by Rose. So, you know, I'll never let go. But then I had to let go.
You know what?
I had to let go.
And you made me feel like Jack, and there was room on that door for you to get me out of this situation, but you refused. You left me hanging. I don't appreciate that. I drowned in the water, and I was frozen because you told me Gunther was going to be coronated in Germany, and Damian would have kept his title for 4 more weeks. You are a liar. You are a deceiver, and I can't stand you, and we will never, ever, ever be on the same page again because of this. But I think at some point we will during this prediction special.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure at least for one match we will be.
Yes. I won't be a troll and just say I will go in the opposite direction for all of these predictions. I could do that to spite you, but I won't. All right. I don't doubt that. That's who you are.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right. Our next match most likely will be CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre in a strap match. And every time I say strap match, Scott feels a way about it because we know that the double entendres can fly at any time, but they've been strapping each other a lot lately.
Wow.
Well, listen, the evidence is there. They've been strapping each other. There's welts on their backs. They've been going through it. You know, it's been very Django-esque in some ways. So now we have this match at Bash in Berlin, and you got to hit all four corners to get the dub. I expect this match to be good. It should be better than what they had at SummerSlam a few weeks ago when they promised violence and carnage and possible death in kayfabe. And for this purpose, I think for the first time on this show, we will agree that CM Punk will win this match to even things up 1-1. Will Scott be that guy and just say, just to spite me?
You know, I don't know who CM Punk thinks he is. This dude thinks he's having his MJF feud right here with Drew. This is the dog collar match right here, by the way. This is his equivalent of the dog collar match right here. So, part of me thinks Drew might win, man. I mean, Punk doesn't need to win. He'll be okay. Drew could use the win. Like, I remember, I think it was JBL and Eddie Guerrero. I think they had a bull rope match. Well, it's not the same as a strap, but the four corners aspect. And they had to touch all four corners. And Eddie Guerrero was just dominating the match. And I could see CM Punk just dominating the match. But JBL touched right after Eddie Guerrero did, JBL would touch the corner. And he ended up touching that fourth corner first. sneaking the victory out. I could see Drew McIntyre doing something like that. Just, I could see Punk dominating, just fired up, just, you know, I'm getting this victory back. I'm getting this win back. And then Drew McIntyre just sneaking it out because he doesn't have to pin him. He doesn't have to take a second pinfall. So I actually am going to take Drew McIntyre.
Troll. I knew it. Troll.
This wasn't the match I was talking about that I figured we would agree on, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. I just, you know, I'm just, but think about it. He's going to get his big victory in a Hell in a Cell. That's going to be his first big win in this feud. So Drew McIntyre is going to sneak out a victory because all he's got to do is touch four corners. He doesn't have to get pinned again.
Yo, listen, this man going to go 0-2 in a feud and then win Hell in a Cell. He's got to win something. I can't do a fourth match because, you know, here's the thing. When this thing started back in January, or even a little bit before that, there was a personal edge to this feud that we enjoyed. The pot shots was nice. What's missing is that personal touch outside of the bracelet that got ridiculous at one point, unfortunately, because when CM Punk says it's about the principality of it, I don't care about it that much. And then you say the next week, I want it back. It contradicts everything and it kind of makes you look silly. And I honestly believe that the actual beef and hostility is with CM Punk and Seth Rollins. To me, that's where the money is. I just think that this is, I don't want to say this, but it feels like now it's an artificial feud with Drew McIntyre and CM Punk. There's no real angst there. There's no personal animosity versus what you can feel that tinge with when it's with Seth, because you can feel that energy between them. This in the beginning was nice. It was nice trolling. It was fun dunking on social media. But the feud itself, that has been lacking as of late. Maybe this match can redeem it. Will Punk bleed at this PLE? I don't know. Because as you said, this is his dog collar match. It doesn't compare because with at least with MJF, there was a personal tinge. Both guys was lethal on the microphone and they built the story well and the match was great. It's not going to match this match, unfortunately. It'll be good, not great. And then you would hope the next level at Hell in a Cell is going to be that match, which will probably feature blood and it will probably be very good. But I still feel as if the real heat and meat is with Seth when he heals up and comes back for CM Punk, possibly heading into WrestleMania season.
Yeah, that'll probably be one of the main events, night one, probably.
Yeah, for sure. So Scott's being a troll. And I'm going to let that ride. And that's okay. Let's see how we fare with these next two matches, because he's going to try me most likely again just to do it. So what I will perceive to be possibly the co-main event or maybe opening the show, we don't know. I'm going to go with Gunther. No, I'm going to say Gunther's going to close the show because he's the hometown guy. He's hometown guy. So I'm going to say Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens might be in the middle of the show or kicks off the show. And they're in a singles match for the WWE Undisputed Championship. Now, if my co-captain says on this show that Kevin Owens is winning the Undisputed WWE Championship and I love me some KO, I will cut this show off. I will leave and Scott can go solo for the rest of this episode because now I know he's trolling because there's no way that is going to happen. Now, the question is, the more intriguing thought outside of the obvious outcome is whether or not Kevin Owens is going to turn heel at any point during or after this match.
Yeah, he's going to kick Cody in the balls right before he hits him with a stunner and pins him 1-2-3, and we have a new WWE champion. So I think, again, I am going to select the correct winner and go with Kevin Owens with a nut shot followed by a middle finger, stunner, pop-up powerbomb, 1-2-3.
I just wanted to scare Scott long enough to think I was gone.
Your picture's still up.
I could have disconnected. I could have hit the Windows button, shut down. You would have known that.
Now, if you'd have did that, then I'd probably be like, all right, well, I'm going to just run through these real quick.
And I might be doing that, because if I don't charge up this computer right now, you will be alone and I might not come back. So that'd be the ultimate jinx.
No, I'm gonna go with Cody, but I do see a nutshot pop a power bomb middle finger, and that crowd's probably gonna go crazy for it.
There he is, because I was wondering. I know for a fact that we're not gonna be that out to lunch, you know. But I'm glad you came around to sensible thinking, because I was about to say. So I also agree that Cody will retain the championship, but I do think it's a strong possibility that Kevin possibly turns. Why not at this point? Give him something different to do. He'll get it over. The fans will love to hate him. That'll work for me. And he'll be over in some way. So I'm all for that. Now, the main event of what I will believe to be of this PLE will be Gunther, the new World Heavyweight Champion, versus Randy Orton for the World Heavyweight Championship. Randy Orton said himself that we're going to go out there and give you Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat from the 1980s. That is a bold declaration. So that means you're going the full hour if you're going to do that. So we'll see if Randy and his 300 pounds is going to go a full hour against Gunther for the championship. I don't think he will. Maybe a solid 30, 35, perhaps, if you want to. Hey, I'm just saying, he's speaking lofty. You talking about Flair, Steamboat, you're talking, you're going long. So he's got to be realistic about his pace and his cardio and how much he wants to do. And I do expect these guys are going to go out there and deliver. And Gunther this year is going to make the man bleed. So we'll see how far this goes. So I'm going to say, obviously, Gunther is going to retain the championship. And I think that based on the entire layout of this card, it's going to be a tight battle between this match and Cody and KO for best match of the night. It will be close. It will be close.
Gunther's going to win this powerbomb fiasco or finisher fiasco. Wrap it up with a chokehold or a sleeper hold. But Orton hit RKO. We'll get a nice near fall. This match will be really good. I think it'll go about 20, 18 to 20. That's all I see Randy Orton really going at this point. I think it'll be a really good match. I think it'll probably be, I think Kevin Owens and Cody will be matching the night though.
I definitely agree for sure. Very close contest between the two and I'm looking forward to it. So should be a very fun show on Saturday at 1:00 PM Eastern on the East Coast here and 10 AM Pacific for those out West who's going to be up early for brunch. Enjoy yourselves as we now get to NXT No Mercy going down the next night in the United States from the Ball Arena in Denver, Colorado. Let's get to that right now as we run down the card for this next PLE for NXT as they get ready to make that move to the CW in October. And the matches are, and HBK, let it be known, I don't do five matches. I give you six. So thank you, Walker HBK. So let's go to... He says, I'm going to give you one more. How about it? But let's start somewhere such as Chase University, Andre Chase and Rich Holland versus Nathan Fraser and Axiom for the NXT Tag Team Championship. Now, I thought to myself when this match took place a couple of weeks ago in NXT, that a turn was going to take place. And it wasn't involving Axiom and Nathan Fraser. No. I thought it was Chase University. Because for some reason, I can't bring myself to fully trust Ridge Holland. So we got the happy ending. He accomplished his life mission of being cheered. He did something very nice for Chase U. So a better way than to stab the university in the back than cost themselves this championship match. That is my prediction, that Axiom and Nathan Fraser get back their titles because I don't trust Rich Holland.
Okay, so we starting it off like that. I got Chase U retaining. I think Axiom kicks Nathan Frazier in the face, and that's who gets pinned.
Wow. So you do sense a Fraxium breakup on the horizon.
Holy shit.
That's what they call themselves, not me.
What do they call themselves?
Fraxium.
That is crazy. yes. All right. I think we finally get that okay, that's enough. And because Nathan Frazier is gonna be, he seems to be the one that's gonna be like, yo, you just kicked me in the face, bro. You cost me this title. So I got Axiom kicking Nathan in the face specifically.
I think so too. So we're gonna see about it.
But Chase Hughes is gonna win.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. We're gonna guarantee one thing. Act of betrayal is definitely gonna happen.
For sure. Somebody
in this match.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Opening match too. Now, if MSK was still around, I'd say Axiom and Nathan Frazier would get them back because then we'd get that match. But, you know, since they're not, we're not going to get it. We're going to stick with Chase U for a little bit till we get a nice heel team to take them.
Yeah. We shall see. We shall see. As we get to our next matchup on this card, let's get to Obafemi versus Tony D'Angelo for the NXT North America Championship. Another big test for Obafemi and Tony D. And they're kind of two guys who've been in the same boat for a while. Tony D, if you could believe it or not, has been a part of 2.0 for nearly 3 years now. That is a crazy run. I think that time might be imminent for him to move on up to the main roster. And we'll see how this goes. I do not foresee Obafemi losing this championship. He's too dominant as a champion. This should be a very good match. Obafemi's title defenses have been very good. There are some hiccups here and there, but his presence and dominance is always impressive. And he gets better every single time he's out there. He's not a big guy who's dominant. He's a big guy who knows how to sell to, make a comeback, and get the crowd into it every single time. And this match could be potentially a show stealer, but I got Obafemi retaining the championship.
Yeah, I second that. And I think Tony D is going to work. I think he's going to have an extra fire to him, an extra gear to him. And him being able to show off some strength with some of these slams is going to be really impressive. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think Oba's going to win, but this is a match to keep an eye on. I think this could, the tag match is going to be great, but I think this could be in contention for that second best match of the night.
I agree. Should be a very fun battle, most definitely. As we get to Kalani Jordan versus Wendy Chu for the NXT Women's North American Championship. Scott is thrilled about this. You can tell if you could see him, his eyes was rolling and it was like, oh God, great. And I will say this as well. Wendy Chu has been in NXT for a long time. I have known her as Karen Q. I've known her as the old lady in the chair. I have known her as Sleepy Wendy Chu. And now she's Demonic Wendy Chu. And these are too many characters for this lady. Can she just be herself? Because this stuff is kind of dumb at this point. And here's the thing that got me. So I do want to talk about this finish from NXT last Tuesday. She was in a match against Lola Vice. And she had a loaded pillow. And she knocked out Lola to win the match. Kalani Jordan sensed that, oh, Wendy Chu has my championship belt. I must retrieve it. And she did. So you're telling me that this tiny belt was so heavy, it knocked out Lola Vice, Walker HBK, Chef Michaels. You stupid. That was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. Booker T tried to save it, but when you see how tiny that belt was, who's gonna get knocked out with that pillow? No one. And Lola had to sell it. This feud is dumb. The match should actually be pretty good, but the build up for this match has sucked. Kalani will win, but the build up for this match has sucked.
I see Kalani winning, but I would keep an eye on the Rosemary connection here. There could be something there, maybe a post-match attack, and those two kind of leave together. Maybe they'll be going after their... We might be having the unholy witches trying to do a little bit of some demonic possessions over here with these two. So we might just be in for some really nasty stuff coming up with these tag titles.
It is very possible. I would not doubt that for a second. So we shall see what is going to happen. Should be a good match, though. I just hate the build up, real talk. Blech. It's not the greatest. As we get to now, our next matchup, which is Roxanne Perez versus Jada Parker for the NXT Women's Championship. Big test for Ms. Parker. And Roxanne Perez is one of the very best in the world today at what she does. I expect this to be a very good match, and Jada is going to open some eyes to say she's a player in WWE, and this will be an even match with Roxanne retaining, because it's going to come down to Stephanie Vaquer or Julia getting this belt off of her soon. And there's two championship belts Julia and Stephanie can fight over. We have the North American title and the NXT Women's Championship. Either is going to go to them at one point, but I think Julia is going to be ultimately the one to dethrone Roxanne so she can finally move on up, probably just in time for the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, this is a great opportunity for Jada, and I think this is gonna be a really strong match. It needs to be a really good match. She needs to put on a great performance, not even great, but just a really good performance here in this title match. Roxanne has been a strong champion, especially since the turn. Jada, we'll see how she does in the babyface role, getting the crowd fired up, because that's what she's going to have to be called to do here. And I think the crowd will respond accordingly to her. You're right about who's coming for the titles and what that future holds. But this match right here, I'm looking forward to seeing what she does when the lights are brightest.
Yes, big test for her. I think she'll pass with flying colors. It'll be a very good match, very competitive. And I think that she'll have her career best showing in this match for the NXT Women's Championship. So.
Yeah, just, you know what? No finish or kick out. I'd rather let her roll out the ring on the first Pop Rocks and then let Roxanne do her little crazy Pop Rocks combo where she does like three or four in a row.
Yes. Now, that was egregious with Lola Vice, even though I liked it. Like, that was a lot.
I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. Like, she kicked out of the first one. She's like, you know what? Kick out of these.
Yeah,
kick out of these.
I did like that. Yeah, I did like it, but it was a little egregious. It was getting a little bit much down the stretch, but she was like, get your ass up. I did like the energy. Like, are you going to take these five?
Yeah, you're going to take
four and a half.
Kick out of that? Yeah, you're going to take these. You're going to take every single... Oh, I missed one. Here's two more.
Yes. We're going to hit this fifth one. Trust and believe. Yeah. I did love the anger from her. It was excessive and egregious, but I love the anger of her saying, you're going to take this and I'm going to pin you with one of them. If I hit you with 10 of them, you're going to feel it. So I did love that energy from her, even though it was a little egregious, but I still liked it. And our blood match of the night, Wesley versus Zach Wentz, one-on-one. I think this is going to be a great match. I think this will be the best match on the show. These guys are going to go crazy hard in the ring. And we've seen very personal battles in NXT history, most notably Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Ciampa, and Gargano. Those blood feuds, the first match is always going to be the one that hits the most. The replays don't do so much in terms of, you know, being good because it gets a little bit masturbatory. But I feel this match, this first match, will be tremendous. And it's going to be tough because of politics. Wesley wins.
Yeah, Wesley's going to win it. I think he's going to win it pretty convincingly, too. Like, I think he's going to have him to the point where Trey's going to come out and be like, yo, just end the match. I think Wesley's going to win it pretty convincingly. I think it'll be a great match. If they let them go and let them two just really go out there and do whatever the hell they want, this could be one of the best NXT matches they have all year. So yeah, I think Wesley wins, and I think it's pretty convincing.
Think so too. Great match, but be a pretty decisive victory for Wesley when it's all said and done. And now it's time to get to the main event for NXT No Mercy. Now, this is a polarizing match because we got people chirping a little bit. And I have followed the career of Ethan Page closely. I know this guy can work. I know this guy can talk. Joe Hendry has come a long way, getting over. And he's in a prime position in the main event of an NXT PLE. Dare I say, the most people he will ever wrestle in front of to date. And people will sing his song and know his name because he is Joe Hendry. But the twist is, which I think is very interesting and kind of weird, is that Trick Williams will be the special guest referee for this match. And he's not in a match against Pete Dunne, which is definitely curious to me, even though I can understand it. If Pete is in contention to being in the IC title picture, you don't want to lose again. So you want to delay that for a bit. I get it. But still, it's a little strange.
So who you got?
Trick is on a quest to get back his championship. He will not be beating Joe Hendry for that opportunity. So Ethan Page will retain the NXT championship because I do think that Pete Dunne is going to go out there and go after the extra special guest referee and get Trick out of there. And we get one of those regular referee dudes in there to count 1, 2, 3, 4. Ego, Ethan Page.
I'll bite. I'll go with Joe Hendry, man. I'll take the lottery pick. You know, I'll take the heavy bet. You know, why not? What do you have nothing to lose. You'll have a great moment. You can see what happens come Tuesday. See if it makes a difference. See what type of buzz you create with it. I think you change the whole perception of this TNA WWE relationship. You have him. I mean, it's not like he wouldn't deserve it. And then you want to talk about Trick Williams really being pissed off and really seeing a different side. Maybe this is kind of that different anger that Pete Dunne's been trying to get out of him. And he doesn't even have to turn heel, but he could just show a different type of aggression. Like, you could just see it in the look on his face as he's counting that three. I unless Josh Alexander's coming out to cost Joe Hendry the match, which could happen, I got Joe Hendry.
Wow, a bold prediction. Joe Hendry is going to take the title, rep TNA and NXT. Now, this is going to be an interesting pick here because, you know, this guy, we got the C-Dub coming up on NXT. You got Chicago, Allstate Arena. Got St. Louis, the Lou Enterprise Arena. So, do you go with the hot hand that's popular? It is tempting, isn't it?
Trick's the long-term answer, but I say you go with the hot hand for right now. Every reign doesn't have to be this 6-month, you know, historic title reign. Take the moment, go with the hot hand, run with it for a month or two. I say you go with Joe.
All right. I'm going to go with Ego. I would love the idea of Joe being able to be a face of a show and of another show at the same time and get more visibility. What I do want to see is that reflected in the ratings for TNA, because I do want to see that benefit for them in some ways. I know the arenas are getting sold out a bit better for them. I want to see those pay-per-view buys bump up a little bit. We got to test to see how strong this partnership is, because yes, NXT is benefiting from it, but what is TNA getting out of it too? They're getting a little something, but I do want to see some uptick in terms of their visibility as well, despite their limited reach with their platform that they're on. But I like your pick. I'm going to be safe because I just feel like Trick has got to beat Ego Ethan Page to win the championship. And I don't want dude to be a 2-time champion that Trick beats to get there. Just keep the belt, have Trick beat him, call it a day. But we'll see where it goes, as that is our last prediction for No Mercy. Should be a very fun show on Sunday, jam-packed weekend for us here watching back-to-back shows at different times in different countries. But it should be a very fun weekend in WWE nonetheless as we celebrate Labor Day.
Yeah, I agree. And I think they're both very different shows. I think NXT, honestly, I think NXT show is going to be better in ring. They just have more to offer, more variety. But yeah, they're both going to be good in their own way.
Me too. Definitely so. And when you have a tight show like a Bash in Berlin, it's going to be compact, nice, snug. You're going to get five good matches, possibly great matches if they're booked properly and given the time. And, you know, I think for these international shows, Triple H does tend to give more care to the in-ring quality and the big shows outside of like a WrestleMania, for example, or the Royal Rumble. It's more storyline driven. So you're going to get some good matches out of here with some possible storyline movement here and there heading into Bad Blood in Atlanta in October. But with that, this is a very nice and bite-sized episode of The Wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. I hope that you enjoyed it. As always, I want to thank the Scout, Salty Scott Young, for joining me as we made some bold predictions, some outlandish predictions, some outrageous predictions, some crazy predictions, some stupid predictions.
No.
Yes. Yes. Regarding these shows, but I'm going to give him the credit nonetheless. One of us would be right. One of us would be wrong, and I can't wait to see who the victor's going to be when we come back on Sunday.
Yeah, and real quick, my match of the week is Tony Khan and making Christian the biggest star in his company. It's a weekly battle. He lost this week because Christian won another big match, but it's an ongoing battle, and you know. He took an L this week, but he can recover. We'll see what happens next time.
You know, when I saw that yesterday, or Sunday, I should say, since we're in a new day now recording this episode of The Wrap, that Casino Gauntlet match was going real well, actually. It was quite great. Had Ricochet's debut in AEW. Action was fantastic. And then Christian Cage comes out and he wins. And now he's earned the right to now face the American Dragon for the AEW World Championship. Let's get this out the way as soon as possible. Let's move on, because I know we're going to hit all the same beats about dead parents and whatnot. Fine. Let's be done with it. Let Brian retain and let us all move on. I love me some Christian Cage, don't get me wrong, but winning that match was deflating for that crowd, no doubt.
Yeah, shout out to the less popular CC.
Not the CC pizza plug.
I was actually talking about Caitlin Clark, but she's hands down the more popular CC than Christian Cage.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But don't get me started on CC's Pizza, because shout out to CC's Pizza, though. I'll take that over a Christian Cage, too.
CC Pizza depends on who fixes it, because it can result in upset stomachs, I'm just saying. So, depends where you eat your CC's Pizza. So,
listen, I eat good. That's a buffet joint. I eat good. I get a salad bar, too. Man, I'm eating good.
I know. You always hype the salad bar up.
Yeah, I'm eating real good at CC's.
I know you are. I know you are. All right, so that was Scott's match of the week. My match of the week, if I have to put my thinking cap on for a second, would have to be... Nothing from SmackDown actually stood out to me. NXT from last... You know what? The opening match of NXT involving Fraxium. Yes, I'm going to call them that because they call themselves that. And Duke Hudson and Riley Osborne. That match was great. Let Riley cook more often. That guy's very good.
All right. Shout out to Duke.
Because what's going to happen at Chase U, it might be a broken down university real soon. Might be split sides if it's going to go down a certain way. So we'll see about it. But yeah, I really enjoyed that match in NXT last week. Very surprising how Duke and Riley gelled together. So they just have chemistry. And it would have been interesting if they would have been the team to beat Fraxium and they would have like Chase U versus Chase U. And that could be a potential path too. You never know, because I don't trust Rich Holland. I'm just saying. But yeah, so that was my match of the week. Monday Night Raw has some gems too as well, but that was the one that stood out to me the most. Honorable mention, LWO and Judgment Day. That was pretty fun too. All right, but with that, that is a wrap for all things WWE so far. We got two major shows coming up on Saturday and Sunday. We'll be back on this broadcast on Sunday morning, recapping Bash in Berlin, and then we'll be back late Sunday night, early Monday morning, talking about WWE No Mercy from NXT. So that should be fun as well.
Yep, looking forward to it.
All right. So for myself and for the Scout, Softy Scott Young, we'll be back this weekend talking all things Bash in Berlin and NXT No Mercy. So until then, enjoy the rest of the week ahead for you guys watching all things NXT and SmackDown being taped in Berlin before the big show this Saturday on Peacock. So for myself and Scott Young, that is a wrap for all things WWE. Take care and bye-bye.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.